Big time Friday energy on today's show. This might be my favorite show that we've all done together. I don't know if it's been our best show. It's been a good show. It's been a blast today. It has been a great show.
Yeah.
Beautiful day.
You enjoy making yourself look like a goon and having your sister talked about?
No, I am a goon. I don't know if that's the right word. A goof, maybe, I think is the right word. Neil Walker is going to jump on here in a couple of moments on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. In the next segment, we're going to talk about Najee Harris. Yeah, the fifth-year option not picked up. We've discussed at length whether or not the Steelers did the right thing. But how do we think this will affect Najee? What is his mental headspace going to be like this year? We'll talk about that coming up in about 20 minutes here. Doran, I didn't notice this earlier. I've just picked up on it now. You're wearing the old headphones.
Yes. I've had enough.
You couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. My dad last night was like, because he watches, and he's like, what were you doing? He was like, I was about to text you, say, get off your phone. Why do you keep messing with it all? Pay attention. And I was like, you saw that? He's like, yeah. I was like, well, my headphones, I got new ones. And then that just kind of was like, I was like, all right, like I'm not even going to use those again.
You're just done with them.
Maybe. You saw how frustrated I was yesterday. If something doesn't work and I'm out of my element, I just don't like it. So I'm not going to put myself back in it. I learn from my mistakes, Crowley.
Well, if you learn from your mistakes, then the mistake could be in this situation, you not knowing how to set up the headphones, and you could learn from that and actually set the headphones up correctly.
I did set them up, but I still don't like them because then I have to charge them. I told you that when we were leaving yesterday. I was like, you know what? I hate these headphones. You're like, why?
I didn't think you were going to give up on the headphones, though.
Because there's going to be a time where I don't charge them and they won't work, and then I'm really in a bad situation.
This is big transfer portal energy from you.
What?
And I didn't think you this kind of guy.
No, this is loyalty, actually. This is staying whenever things are getting hard. This is going with the things that are broken but trying to fix them and make them work. These old headphones are old. They're somewhat broke, but you know what? I'm staying loyal to them. That's what that is.
How much did you spend on the other headphones?
I'm not telling you.
How much? $150?
Mm.
North?
Mm.
200?
Mm.
250?
Mm.
300? Mm. Are you kidding? Four? 350. $319.99. Tell me. 320?
$319.99.
For a pair of cans?
It's what I do. Almost every day of the week I have to wear headphones. It's a very good investment whenever you make the right investment. It's like my smoker. I use it all the time. It was a lot of money, but it was a great investment. I need these for work. So, and then whenever I travel and, you know, do sidelines at Pitt, I want to be comfortable. And I thought that putting my money into a good investment would have benefited me, and it backfired. It's life.
Are we legally allowed to do what I'm about to do, Callis?
I can't read your mind. Nobody can read your mind.
Yeah, good point. If you throw a good old Doran Dickerson, John Hancock on that, you think someone would buy your headphones? Mm. Gently use Doran Dickerson 93.7 The Fan Morning Show headphones?
Probably not.
You could donate the money right back into the Pitt football program, Alliance 412.
I would do that.
Where the hell is Neil Walker to, by the way? I'm only making fun of you as a means to filibuster until Neil jumps on with us.
Your hair looks nice on the video.
I know. I can't stop looking at it. This is an
It looks like you have gel in, but you actually don't.
No, I have gel in.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
do you?
Yeah. Why wouldn't
but it's not that shiny whenever you look at it like
in person.
Yeah.
I had to put the hair gel in whenever my hair was wet today. All right, we got Neil Walker now. Former Pirate, Pirates broadcaster. Neil Walker joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Neil.
Hey, guys. Hey, let me just start off by dissecting the first pitches the other day at the Pitt-West Virginia game. Okay.
Yes. Go right ahead, Neil.
All right, let me start with Doran. That's A1 steak sauce right there. No issues. A good arm motion, good movement on the pitch. Adam, we're going to get you on a throwing program this offseason because I'm imagining this opportunity is going to arise itself many, many times in the future. So we're gonna work on that. You got a little bit of limited external rotation, okay?
Thank you, Neil. I'm right. So happy that you started this segment like that. Because
and usually football guys they got a tough time rotating that hand the right way with a baseball much smaller than a football, but I'm not sure what Adam's excuse is.
Well, I would like you to dissect my catcher The catcher needs to make the play for me there, Neil. Like he could have backhanded it, I feel like, or shifted over and blocked a ball in the dirt. I got no help from a catch.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, as a former catching first pitch guy, you're definitely have an obligation of making sure that you try to keep that ball in front of you at all costs. And that certainly wasn't the case in your instance.
Thank you, Neil.
Well, don't give him any excuses. Oh my goodness.
I didn't get a chance to warm up either. My external rotation would have been a lot better if I had been able to warm up. The landing leg, that whole thing. All right, Neil, we bring you on not only to dissect us, though we do appreciate it. We bring you on to dissect the Pirates, and right now when you look under the hood, it's not that good. 14-18. You've got an opportunity here against a bad Colorado team. But I also think and thought maybe that you had an opportunity to call up some reinforcements from AAA. I thought we would have got word on that. Perhaps we'll get word at some point today. But, Neil, wouldn't you call up the Nick Gonzalez's at Grandals and G1 Bays of the world?
Yeah. And like you said, coming on this morning, you thought that there might be some type of move or moves on the off day going into today. And my guess is that there probably has been a move. They're just making sure that whatever individuals are getting into town. But I certainly, that's all speculation on my behalf. But yeah, the one in five road trip was not pretty out to the West Coast. And scoring 1-2 runs a game in the major leagues with no pitcher in the lineup is just, it's not going to do it in these days. Even with the quality starting pitching that we've gotten, and the pitching for the most part has been the obvious bright spot of the team, which we didn't necessarily think that was going to be the case. We're just seeing situations on the offensive side where guys just aren't necessarily carrying the water right now, and that's really unfortunate. So, for me, I know that first month of the season is typically the toughest for hitters to get going. I usually look at that, somewhere around 100, 125 at bats as the line of like, okay, are we seeing guys turn a corner? Are we seeing guys get going? Has it been a slow start? Our numbers falling back to the mean for certain guys, or in both directions, up and down. And, we just haven't seen guys kind of carrying their weight, and that's been too big of holes to cover up through this first month in the season.
Neil, have you or one of your teammates, or have you ever seen one of your teammates go against a team-wide hitting philosophy?
It's interesting. When you talk about hitting philosophy, you certainly are breaking things down individually, but you're also looking at the team as a whole. And my biggest thing, I can remember, I'll give you an instance. So I can remember going to the New York Mets after getting traded after the 2015 season, and about the middle end of spring training, once most of the guys have filtered down in the minor league, we had a hitting sit down with all the offensive players and with the hitting coach and the manager, and we said, hey, look, here's our offense, here's the guys that we have here, this is how we're going to have to score runs. And in our instance, we had a lot of home run hitters. We had, Curtis Granderson, Yoenis Cespedes, David Wright, Lucas Duda. We had guys that were hitting 20 to 30 home runs every single year for the last several years, and we said, this is how we're going to do this. We're gonna put a couple guys on at the top of the order that can get on base, but that can also pop you from time to time. We're not going to run. We're not going to bunt. We're not going to hit and run. We are going to slug. So we want to get guys on base, and we want to drive them in with doubles and home runs. And here's who we expect to hit in the top of the order, middle of the order, and bottom of the order. And of course that changes with injuries and lack of production and things like that. But we had a very clear idea and image of what was being expected of us. And I think that's one of maybe the issues. And I'm not pointing any fingers in any directions, but I think that non-continuity of where guys are in the order, and that that stability per se of guys being knowing who they are and what they're being asked to do is starting to kind of rear its ugly head per se. And obviously guys like Tellez and like Henry Davis, we expect, and Jack Swinski, we've expected more from them to this point. And I think for the most part they'll get going but to what degree, we're not sure. But I think just the moving around of the lineup, and like I said, I'm not pointing fingers at management or anything like that. I just think that the identity of this offense is just somewhat unclear right now, based on guys not kind of performing well and having to kind of shuffle guys around, like O'Neal Cruz. You expect to be in that 1-2-3 spot in the lineup. Now we're trying to get him going in the 7-8-9 spot, and that shuffles a lot of other things up. So yeah, we could talk about hitting philosophy. Obviously, they've been very patient. It worked for about 2 weeks. Then the word got out across the board to teams around the league that they were upcoming and playing, going, okay, we're gonna steal strike one and try to steal strike two before you can even blink. And we know the numbers of what 1-2-0-2 looks like in the big leagues.
Yeah, it's not good. Neil, we appreciate you shuffling for us, man. We usually talk to you on Monday, so we'll talk to you this upcoming Monday. But thanks for moving your schedule around for us, man.
Hey, you guys got to have a great weekend. Hopefully we got a nice couple wins here against a lowly Colorado Rockies team. We'll see.
We shall see. Thank you, Neil. I'm going to work on my external rotation. See you, buddy.
Go get it.
Thanks, Neil.
Bye.
That's Neil Walker. He's the best, and I hung up on him there a little too quickly. I just clicked the button. Yeah. Sorry for that, Neil.
Your rotation. You were loose. You were loose.
Yeah, that's right.
You were loose.
Yeah, my rotation has improved over the course of the interview, and bang, just click him right off. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get to Najee Harris coming up next. We've already talked chapter and verse about the decision the Steelers made. What is his motivation going to be like this year? Is he going to dog it, or is he going to go into an extra gear? Is he going to be ticked off for greatness? We'll get to that. But real quick, Neil hit on a couple of things there worth discussing. The moving around of the lineup. Like, the philosophy is no good.
You've been saying that forever.
Yeah, just for a week, can you have a stable lineup? Like, I get you got platoon dudes you're rolling out there with Tellez and with Connor Joe, and you think Connor Joe, you put him in against lefties, you put Tellez in against righties. That's one example right there. Tellez needs to be stapled to the bench. Just Connor Joe's hitting, just let him hit. But I would have 1-9, and I would have every guy stay the same for a week and just see if it can become habit-forming and just see if it makes guys more comfortable. The other thing that I wanted to hit on is he said they've been patient from the beginning of the year and teams have adjusted to it, and so it's basically strike one, strike two for free. The word patient has now been turned in my brain to passive. Like, being patient is a positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're being passive.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to adjust back. So let's go. Adjust back. It is 9:13. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. So Najee Harris is playing on the final year of his deal. What's that going to do for him? We'll talk about it when we come.
We better watch ourselves.
I know. I know. I didn't realize we were that close to coming back, and we were talking about something there that, you know, the people would never know that what we had to transition out of to come back onto the air, but I know, and it's tough for me in my brain.
Yeah, and you explained it to me, and it's even tougher for me in my brain because you told me what was happening during that, and yeah, that's a lot. It's a lot.
I would like to revisit that conversation off the air, though, in the next break.
No, I think we're good.
I've said enough.
Yeah.
You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net, and the fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. The Steelers declined the fifth-year option for Najee Harris. I said good. I didn't want them to pick it up. Doran says you would have liked to see them pick it up, but I don't think either one of us would have really been all that hot and bothered one way or another. What does this all mean for Najee? We'll get to that coming up in one moment, but we had Neil on in the last segment. Neil Walker, I'm expecting call-ups for today's game. I don't know if they're in transit now, and so you don't want to make the roster moves official or anything like that until players do arrive. But, boy, man, I would be really surprised if at least one of these guys isn't up here by tonight's game. And I'm talking about Jiwon Bey, Yasmani Grandal,
Gonzalez.
Nick Gonzalez, maybe Jake Lamb. What is that, four guys I mentioned? I would expect at least one of them is up here for this game.
I don't think it's happening. I mean, when does that usually come out? Like, whenever guys do show up? Like,
yeah,
it'll come out, like, at least a day before. Somebody would know that their bags are packed and their lockers are cleaned out in AAA. That would be not leaked, but that would be out there. Oh, they're not here. They're probably going to get called up. Nothing. We haven't seen anything.
Yeah, the official word wouldn't come out until later on today, but you would think that somebody would catch wind of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at Jason Mackey right now, and I realize he's a columnist, but he's still tapped in. He hasn't written anything about it.
Has Noah said anything?
Let me see what Noah said. I'd be surprised, though, if we didn't get a guy up here playing in tonight's game that has been playing in AAA. And frankly, I'd like to see all of them. I mean, that's a flurry of roster moves, but I said it yesterday. Rowdy Tellez, DFA him. You don't need him around. And if that means Connor Joe's your everyday first baseman, or you have him play first sometimes and Jake Lamb play first at other times, so be it. Rowdy Tellez, he ain't it. Henry Davis is hitting 162. Give him some time in AAA. He's not even playing every day up here. So that's hurting his development. When he is playing, he's not helping the team. So give me some Yasmani Grandal. Give me Jiwon Bae on the base paths. And if I got to send down Alika Williams, so be it. I'd send down Jared Triolo, too. He's hitting 216. Nick Gonzalez is hitting darn near 400 in AAA. And he might just be a 4A player, but you got to stop the bleeding. The Colorado Rockies have trailed in every single game they've played this year. 32 consecutive games they've trailed. But you are the Pirates. And you've been playing like the Colorado Rockies for the last 2 weeks. So give me something different. And I'm a little discouraged we haven't gotten it to this point. I'll revise and amend my opinion on that if, in fact, they do call guys up. But, I mean, give me one.
Somebody.
Give me one. And if I guess if it had to be one of those guys, I would say give me Nick Gonzalez because he's the one who's really hitting the cover off the baseball.
If we're anticipating, if there is somebody, like, I would go with Jiwon Bae because he played the most last year with the club.
He played the best out of he and Nick Gonzalez as well. Yeah. And in the early going, when they were winning a bunch of games in April, they were running wild on the base paths.
Right, yeah, small ball, yeah.
Yeah, and do they need a little bit of that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nick Gonzalez, if the power would translate, would be good. You'd like to see a ball go over the fence. But they're not stringing hits together. They're not even hitting home runs right now. So getting a guy on base who could make something happen, turn a single into a double, turn a double into a triple, with his ability to steal bases, yeah, I could see that opinion too. Give them all to me.
Yeah.
Give them all to me. Because this is a season where you're supposed to win, and it's getting late early here. All right, now back to Najee Harris. So, they didn't pick it up. I say yay, you say, eh. How do we think this is going to affect his psyche? Is he a guy that's going to come out now motivated to show the rest of the league, hey, if they don't want me here, this is my final season, I'm going to bust my tail, and I'm going to earn that keep? Or is he a guy that's going to pout and it's going to go the opposite way?
That's such a tough situation to be in, I would believe, as an athlete, is because you feel like there's no loyalty where you're at, but you also have on the other side that you're not just playing for that your team that you're on. It's very weird. Like, I mean, to the probably the least extent, had to deal with that during my second year in Buffalo whenever – Marone was like, yeah, you're playing for other teams right now. And I was like, well, does that mean I'm not going to make this team?
Oh, man.
And he didn't say that. But, you know, but he was like, basically like, yeah, we're going to release you at the end of preseason, but you need to get film for other teams. And, you know, and that was a hard battle to fight. Like, man, like, I'm not even going to be here, but I need to play as best as I can. And it's very, very tough. But
so your confidence is shaken while at the same time going, I
got
to be my best.
It. Yeah, right, right. So I don't. And you could either go either way. I mean, either you're going to perform or you're not. I would say that Najee will probably look at it like, yeah, I'm going to be a bat out of hell. And I'm going to – I'm not going to be here next year. So this is for other teams.
I'd like to see him start the season the way that he has historically finished seasons. I mean, if you can get a motivated Najee Harris, that's, yeah, only going to benefit him. But that would absolutely benefit the ball club. We've seen him at his best in December and January. 5 of his 6 100-yard rushing games have come at the end of the season. I think that having Jaylen Warren there to spell him only helps that. It's one of the reasons why they didn't pick up the fifth-year option. They just saw what they could get out of an undrafted guy in Jaylen Warren, who has more yards per carry than does Najee Harris. I am worried, though, that he's going to, you know, at the first sign of trouble, kind of revert into himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like he might be exactly what you're describing right now. Everything's going on in his head. They don't want me, but I want to be seen as this productive player by the league. I'm going to go attack this thing head on and really be motivated, ticked off for greatness. But Man, if he goes out there and it's a first game and it's 3.2 yards per carry and 55 yards, I could see him getting deep in his feelings.
If we think that Najee Harris isn't as friendly and as friendly to the media now, don't let Jaylen Warren have a 100-yard game. Don't let Jaylen Warren have another game and then another game. And, you know, he's getting like 40 yards and less carries. Like, he's going to – it's going to be George Pickens-esque situation.
Would it change the way that you use Najee to that point then? Like, you only have him for one more year. Beat the hell out of him if you're Mike Tomlin.
If Jalen's, like, on fire?
Maybe not even give Jalen an opportunity to get on fire. Just know, hey.
You got to win games, though.
I agree.
I'm not worried about Najee. I'm not worried. Clearly, they sent us that message yesterday. Like, we're trying to do what's best for the team, best financially, and we're going to give him opportunities, but that's not going to be of the forefront of my mind if I'm Mike Tomlin or Arthur Smith. Like, let's run Najee into the ground. No, we need to do what we got to do to win games.
Yeah.
And if you get 2 carries a game, if you get 15 carries a game, like, you're just a part of us trying to win.
I happen to think that's the way it's going to be. You think about what Arthur Smith was doing in Tennessee with Derrick Henry, and they were going to run him till the wheels fell off. Mike Tomlin's philosophy has largely been run your primary running back until you break your primary running back. We've seen it with a bunch of guys. Rashard Mendenhall. Willie Parker's the one that sticks out when he broke his leg against the Rams, and they really, really ran that guy to death. They did it with Le'Veon Bell, and he was oft injured. They did it with James Conner, and he was oft injured. Last year, there seemed to be this shift in the way that they wanted to use their running backs. And I have to think that it's Omar Khan and Andy Weidel. I mean, think about the Eagles. So I know that.
Oh, yeah, they have 3.
Yeah.
4.
They had LeGarrette Blount in 2017 when they won the Super Bowl, and he rushed for 1,000 yards. But they have been largely a running back by committee outfit. And it seems like, bang, in one season, Mike Tomlin totally went against what is his typical philosophy.
I would like to give credit to Jaylen Warren a lot in that situation.
Sure.
I mean, he, you know, coming in as an undrafted free agent and just battling. It was like, you can't, it was too hard of a situation to ignore, to, you know, be engraved into your philosophy because the player was just that good. Like, he worked his way into that role too, alongside of what you're saying.
Yeah, he had to prove his worth.
And he did more than probably prove it.
He left them no choice, really.
Yes.
So is it more that, or is it more now an organizational philosophy? Let's talk about that coming up next, because it is a change. It's a significant change. We talked a lot last training camp about what was going to happen. And actually during the preseason, because against Buffalo, Jaylen Warren had that 70-plus yard run, and everyone went, who's the better player here? Let's talk more about that coming up next. We got Social Media's Biggest Loser to round out the show after that. Social Media's Biggest Loser coming up in the next segment, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. I'll give you a hint. CT ESPN.
What do they do now?
I'll tell you in the next segment. But first, Najee Harris. He got one more year left on his contract. Steelers don't pick up the 5th-year option. And we were talking about the dynamic, the front office dynamic, that may have shifted here. And the way that Mike Tomlin used running backs has absolutely shifted. Last year, Jaylen Warren got a lot of run. You don't usually see that from Mike Tomlin coach teams, unless you have to, unless it's like the Jonathan Dwyer era. Like, if he's got a guy, he's going to use that guy. Like, Mwelde Moore comes to mind when Mendenhall got hurt. He kind of saved their season, and then they rode that guy. So, like, his philosophy has always been, I'm going to run my running back till the wheels fall off. Last year, the opposite. And you made a good point in the last segment, Doran. Jaylen Warren, he earned more playing time, and so they were smart to give it to him. But now I've thought a lot about this. And we got a tweet here that I think is worth reading. The philosophical change in how Najee has been used is further proof that Tomlin simply fell on the sword for the mistakes of an incompetent GM in Colbert. He didn't actually want Najee or Pickett, but put on that front to protect the GM and owner. New respect. I don't know that I'd go that far. Like, I think Tomlin and Colbert were in lockstep together. I think those guys both wanted Kenny Pickett. The way that Tomlin talked about Najee, I think Tomlin wanted Najee. But let's think about this. Dan Moore Jr., drafted by the previous administration. You just drafted his replacement. Kevin Dotson, drafted by the previous administration, traded out of town. Kendrick Green traded out of town. Chase Claypool traded out of town. Kenny Pickett traded out of town.
Deontay Johnson
traded out of town. A lot of the guys from Kevin Colbert, the last of the Kevin Colbert era, have been shipped out of here. Like, when they didn't perform, Omar Khan didn't have a lot of patience for that. Like, just because Kevin Colbert believed in these guys didn't mean that Omar Khan was going to fall into that sunk cost fallacy and just say, well, we picked him in the first round, let's go with it. This is a way where they're actually moving on from Najee Harris without moving on from Najee Harris right now.
I think that it's more that Omar Khan wasn't in lockstep with Kevin Colbert.
Yeah, than Khan.
And Khan's been, you know, was basically here the same length as Colbert was, and there's probably been times, and he's telling us now that it's like you sit in that war room and then you pull that draft card and he's probably like,
I thought we'd have a lot more of the same. I thought they'd...
So whenever they hire Khan?
Yes.
Yes, same.
Like it was going to be the next closest warm body thing.
Yes.
Randy Feigner. You Matt Canada. Easy for me to say. I tried to block him out mentally. Keith Butler as defensive coordinator. That's a great call. Terrell Austin was sitting behind him. Butts is out. Bang. You promote Terrell Austin. They have done so much of the promote from within that I thought it was just going to be, it's Kevin Colbert 2.0, but without the full general manager experience. No, he has turned this thing on its head, and I'm not going to say that Kevin, like the texter, is a terrible general manager, but at the end, he was still so old school that it wasn't working. He made a lot of bad draft picks the last few years. I think that's inarguable. Certainly Omar Khan feels that way. Now I feel like we're dealing with a much more modern franchise. And it makes me think everything's on the table. And I wonder if things like negotiating contracts in season is on the table now. Like they've gone the way of guaranteed money. I'm wondering if, not Najee, because I think they're just going to be done with him by the end of the year, but I'm wondering if like they didn't sign Pat Freiermuth, let's say, but he thrived in the first 8 games with Arthur Smith. I wonder if they might put that off. I'm not saying I know that's going to happen, but it seems like everything now is on the table and that the Steelers have been dragged almost kicking and screaming into the 21st century.
This is going to sound crazy.
Please.
You think Najee's on the table to trade?
I can't rule anything out with them anymore, right, man. I can't. I would guess no, because then you are leaving yourself with only Jalen Warren, who I think is very good, but I'm not sure he can shoulder the load.
Yeah, but you could. But what you're telling me is like you could sign somebody.
I don't know at this point, though.
Okay.
To me, it's late for that.
Okay.
But I can't rule it out.
Right.
I can't rule it out. Like, they might trade Dan Moore Jr., according to Dulac. He brought that up in his chat. Hey, forget everything you know about these guys. I heard Caboli say whenever he was on with Starkey and Zeiss, don't panic. The Steelers, they always wind up giving these fifth-year options right at the deadline. Now, the information did come out, but I don't care about what they always did. I don't care about what they used to be. They ain't that anymore. Omar Khan's still working the phones trying to get a big-time wide receiver in here.
What they used to be, they would have signed the fifth-year option.
Yes.
If they were who they were before.
If Kevin Colbert were running the ship, then I think they'd have a new offensive coordinator. I don't know that they would have fired him last year. I think they would have fired him after the season or let his contract lapse, whatever. I think that Kenny Pickett would be the quarterback, and Najee Harris would be $7 million guaranteed money richer. Yeah, I do think that. I'm happy they are where they are. Kevin Colbert did a great job for 20 years. For me, he should be in the Hall of Fame, but it was time to go. It's time for Mike Sullivan to go. You can make the argument it's time for Mike Tomlin to go. People who are good at their jobs, sometimes you need to move on to different things and have a change of scenery. I think that Omar Khan has turned this whole thing up on its head. Now, I think we'd be, what's the word I want here?
Remiss.
Yeah, if we didn't mention Art Rooney II probably having a role in the dynamic change here. But this is a breath of fresh air, man. They haven't won a playoff game in 7 years. Hiring the next Kevin Colbert would have been a dereliction of duty, because what tells you that they're going to win a playoff game anytime soon? I'm elated for where they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw DJ Chark come off the board. We saw Tyler Boyd likely come off the board. He's going to probably sign in Tennessee. So the wide receiver free agent market is shrinking. But, man, I think Omar's coming. I think he's going to get his guy. Whether it's DK Metcalf or one of the 49ers dudes, I think he's going to get one. And you can't rule any of that stuff out anymore. whereas before I think you would have. Up next, social media's biggest loser.
Hi, Crowley.
Hi, Callis.
Do you want to do a radio show?
Yeah, we're having a chat here. You can let the music go. That's fine. Still be, I mean, Pony and Muller do it every day. You know, like 60 seconds of music before they get talking. We just do it one time. Hold your horses. Relax. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Before we give you social media's biggest loser, we were talking about this during the break. Is it 100% that Najee won't hold out? Like, I could definitely see him holding out,
trying
to get a contract.
Trying to get a contract. I walked out of the room. I was like, that's a tough situation to be in if you're his agent, because you'd have to really get a feel of if they really want you around.
Yeah. If you get any inkling, if they tell you, hey, we'd like to work something out, then yeah, I wouldn't step foot. I would do the soft holdout thing,
mm-hmm.
or the hold in that Deontay did, that TJ kind of did, that Minka kind of did. I would do that if I were him, if they tell me they want to work something out. But if they straight up just say, we're not doing anything.
Yeah, don't do that.
Right. You would be holding out for a trade then. You wouldn't be holding out for contract negotiation purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Which I could maybe see that he wants traded.
Yeah. I mean, very, very quickly, he got to the end of his term here now. He got 1 year left. Like, very quickly. I don't know that a lot of Steelers beat writers thought this was going to happen, too.
No. I was almost sure that they were going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I was almost sure. I was like, oh, yeah, they're going to lock him up.
Think about all the things they've done this offseason that that in years past we would have been sure that they wouldn't have done.
Like everything.
Everything. They wouldn't have moved on from Kenny. They probably would have tried to re-sign Mason Rudolph as the backup. They wouldn't have got Patrick Queen. They are quite literally handing him more money on an average annual value basis than any free agent in the history of this team. They wouldn't have done that before.
Wouldn't have signed the quarterbacks.
They wouldn't have signed and traded for the quarterbacks. Like, all that stuff is different. I don't know if this one's true, but I'm not so sure that they wouldn't have just gotten a center in the first round, because that was their biggest position of need, right? Like last year, we've told this to our listeners before, that Mike Tomlin, we have heard, really wanted Joey Porter Jr. and to stay put at 17 and take him. They trade up, they get Broderick Jones, with Andy Weidel basically saying, no, Joey Porter Jr. is going to be there at 32. That would have been different. And all these are all things where you read any of the chats for the beat writers. No, they're not going to do it. They never do it that way. No, they're not going to do it. Never going to do it that way. You're going to have to fall back on something else now, beat writers.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to, because you don't have a beat on what this general manager is doing.
The
right
beat
now
is to give every angle of what they could do.
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of how you have to operate, I would think. I'm not a beat writer.
We do that.
Yeah, like everything that they could do, that has to be on the table now, because that's how they're operating.
Mm-hmm. You can't rule anything out.
No.
Like, what's it, significant player gate or significant player watch. I ain't getting off that until they kick the ball off in September.
There's no doubt.
And even then, man, the deadline comes into play for this franchise now. I don't know that it means they're going to win playoff games this year. I don't know if it means that they're going to be demonstrably better than they were last year. I happen to think they will be. I don't know that. But at least you can have faith that they're trying. They always said they're trying, and they never bottomed out. But to say it and then to demonstrate it are two different things, and they're now demonstrating that in a different way. You ready for social media's biggest loser?
Yes.
Oh, I wrote it down somewhere. Here we go. CTESPN, Antonio Brown, he tweeted after the 76ers fell behind 28-9 or whatever it was to the Knicks last night. He said, how ass are the 76ers playing? And he posted a picture of Kenny Pickett. Why you got to be like that?
Yeah.
Why you got to do him like that?
Man, nobody's safe with that account.
No.
Nobody's safe. Like, in no holds bar, like. Like,
oh, he'll get anybody.
Yeah, going to the juggler, too. Like,
he went after Hines Ward. You see
that?
Yeah,
I saw that. He crushes Shannon Sharp.
Kills Shannon Sharp.
Oh, man.
He had a suggestion for an exercise ball that Shannon Sharp should buy that I can't even describe on the air. It would be an FCC violation. He went after Caitlin Clark.
Did you see the one? He's like, this is what Shannon Sharp cooks.
Mm-hmm. I sure did see that. Here's the issue, man. It's hilarious. It's offensive, but it's hilarious. I can't even lie. It makes me think he's not quite running that account by himself.
No, he's not. I think he admitted it, right?
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Whenever he was going
back. It kind of makes me sad because it is too good.
Whenever he was going back and forth with DeMar Hamlin.
Oh, okay.
And DeMar Hamlin responded.
He went back and forth with DeMar? Yeah. What do you got DeMar for? All the usual DeMar stuff? Oh, come on.
Yeah.
How about Doug Gottlieb went after Caitlin Clark? Did you see that?
With the shooting?
Yeah, she's got a weird shooting form. And Doug Gottlieb, he of a 45% free throw shooting percentage in college, said, would you try to change her form? How about no? How about she's the leading scorer in college basketball history and it works for her? Should Patrick Mahomes change his throwing form? How about Phillip Rivers? It's too soft. Get the hell out of here, Doug Gottlieb. Go steal a laptop, bro.
It's like you saying you could catch a punt.
I could catch a punt.
Or
fair catch. Got it.
There's no I'm telling you, there's zero chance.
Of me catching the punt?
With a lot in a live period.
Well,
with the helmet and shoulder pads on.
I would have to have a conversation with either the punter or if they were using the jugs machine.
They would use a punter.
Okay.
Because everybody talks to their opponent before a play. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, every time.
This is a different circumstance here,
No,
guys.
It's not. Now you're putting rules and parameters around it. Like,
you're trying to make yourself feel safe right now. That's what you're doing.
There's no
You're talking
way.
Yourself into safety.
Punt the ball in a five-yard vicinity of me, and I will catch it.
There's no way.
I 100% would catch it. Texter, is Adam a failed beat writer? He has so much hate for those guys. No, they've just been wrong all offseason, and we've been right. Except for our friends Mark Caboli and Ray Fittipaldo.
Yes.
And Batco, because he was on today.
Right.
We hand things over to Joe Starkey. Oh, what a great show today. What a fun week. We'll talk to Ian's on Monday. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here. So are the deals at Sun Chevrolet, sunchevy.com. Today, high 85.